Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Danvinan Agranir Esha Tulyash Charjunayor Dvayaho Danvinam Agrir Danvinam Agranir Esha Tulyash Charjunayor Dvayaho Hutasha Eva Durdarshaha Hutasha Eva Durdarshaha Samudra Eva Dustaraha Samudra Eva Dustaraha Danvinam Agranirdesha Tulyash Charjunayor Dvayo Hutasha Eva Durdharsha Samudra Eva Dushtaraha Danvinam Agranir Esha Tulyash Charjunayor Dvayo Hutasha Eva Durdharsha Samudra Eva Tushtaraha
Danvinam Agranir Esha
Danvinam Agranir Esha
Tulyash Charjunayor Dvayaho
Tulyash Charjunayor Dvayaho
Hutasha Eva Durdharsha
Hutasha Eva Durdharsha
Samudra Eva Dustaraha
Samudra Eva Dustaraha
Danvinam Agranir Esha
Danvinam Agranir Esha
Tulyash Charjunayor Dvayoho
Tulyash Charjunayor Dvayoho
Hutasha Eva Durdarshaha
Hutasha Eva Durdarshaha
Samudra Eva Dustaraha
Samudra Eva Dustaraha
Danvinam
Agranir Esha Tulyash Charjuna Yor Dvayaho
Utasha Eva Durdarsha
Utasha Eva Durdarsha
Sumadra Eva Dushtara
Samudra Eva Dushtara
Danvinam Agranir Esha
Tulyash Charjuna Yor Eva Dvayaho Utasha Eva Durdarshaha Samudra Eva Dustaraha Danvinam Agranir Esha Tulyash Charjuna Yod Dvayaho Utasha Eva Durdarshaha Samudra Eva Dustaraha
Danvinam
Agranir Esha Tulyash Charjuna Yor Dvayaho Hutasha Eva Durdarshaha Samudra Eva Dustaraha Danvinam
Of the great bowman,
Agrani,
the foreman,
Esha,
this child,
Tulya,
equally good,
Cha,
and
Arjunayo,
of the Arjunas,
Dvayaho,
of the two,
Hutashaha,
fire,
Eva,
like,
Durdarshaha, irresistible, Samudraha, ocean, Iva, like, Dusaraha, unsurpassable. Translation. Amongst great bowmen, this child will be as good as Arjuna. He will be as irresistible as fire and as unsurpassable as the ocean. Please repeat. Amongst great bowmen, this child will be as good as Arjuna.
He will be as irresistible as fire
and as unsurpassable as the ocean. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In history, there are two Arjunas. One is Kartavir Arjuna, the king of Haihai, and the other is the grandfather of the child. Both the Arjunas are famous for their bowmanship, and the child Parikshit is foretold to be equal to both of them, particularly in fighting. A short description of the Pandava Arjuna is given below. Pandava Arjuna, the great hero of the Bhagavad Gita. He is the Kshatriya son of Maharaj Pandu. Queen Kunti Devi could call for any one of the demigods, and thus she called Indra, and Arjuna was born by him. Arjuna is therefore a plenary part of the heavenly king Indra. He was born in the month of Phalgun, February, March, and therefore he is also known as Phalguni. When he appeared as the son of Kunti, his future greatness was proclaimed by air messages, and all the important personalities from different parts of the universe, such as the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Adityas from the sun globe, the Rudras, the Vasus, the Nagas, the different rishis, sages of importance, and the Apsaras, the society girls of heaven, all attended the ceremony. The Apsaras pleased everyone by their heavenly dances and songs. Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna and the maternal uncle of Arjuna, sent his priest representative Kashyapa to purify Arjuna by all the prescribed samskars, or reformatory processes. His samskar of being given a name was performed in the presence of the rishis, residents of Shatashringa. He married four wives, Draupadi, Subhadra, Chitrangada and Ulupi, from whom he got four sons of the names Shutakirti, Abhimanyu, Bahubravan, and Iravan, respectively. During his student life, he was entrusted to study under the great professor Dronacharya, along with the other Pandavas and the Kurus, but he excelled everyone by his studious intensity, and Dronacharya was especially attracted by his disciplinary affection. Dronacharya accepted him as a first-grade scholar and loved heartily to bestow upon him all the blessings of material science, military science, rather. He was so ardent a student that he used to practice bowmanship even at night. And for all these reasons, Professor Dronacharya was determined to make him the topmost bowman of the world. He passed very brilliantly the examination in piercing the target, and Dronacharya was very pleased. Royal families at Manipur and Tripur are descendants of Arjuna's son, Bahubravan. Arjuna, what was that? Babruvahan. Arjuna, the famous society girl of heaven, Urvasi. What are we missing something? Sorry. Arjuna saved Dronacharya from the attack of a crocodile. And the Acharya, being pleased with him, rewarded him with a weapon of the name Brahmashira. Maharaj Drupada was inimical towards Dronacharya, and thus, when he attacked the Acharya, Arjuna got him arrested and brought him before Dronacharya. He besieged the city of the name Ahichatra, belonging to Maharaj Drupada, and after taking it over, he gave it to Dronacharya. The confidential treatment of the weapon, Brahmashira, was explained to Arjuna, and Dronacharya was promised by Arjuna that he would use the weapon if necessary when he, Dronacharya, personally became an enemy of Arjuna. By this, the Acharya forecasted the future battle of Kurukshetra, in which Dronacharya was on the opposite side. Maharaj Drupada, although defeated by Arjuna, on behalf of his professor Dronacharya, decided to hand over his daughter Draupadi to his young combatant, but he was disappointed when he heard the false news of Arjuna's death in the fire of a shellac house, intrigued by Duryodhan. He therefore arranged for Draupadi's personal selection of a groom who could pierce the eye of a fish hanging on the ceiling. This trick was especially made because only Arjuna could do it, and he was successful in his desire to hand over his equally worthy daughter to Arjuna. Arjuna's brothers were at the time living incognito under agreement with Duryodhan, and Arjuna and his brothers attended the meeting of Draupadi's selection in the dress of Brahmins. When all the Kshatriya kings assembled, saw that a poor Brahmin had been garlanded by Draupadi for her lord, Sri Krishna disclosed his identity to Balaram. He met Ulupi at Haridwar, and he was attracted by a girl belonging to the Nagalok, and thus Iravan was born. Similarly, he met Chitrangada, a daughter of the king of Manipur, and thus Babruvahan was born. Lord Sri Krishna made a plan to help Arjuna to kidnap Subhadra, sister of Sri Krishna, because Baladev was inclined to hand her over to Duryodhan. Yudhishthira also agreed with Sri Krishna, and thus Subhadra was taken by force by Arjuna and then married to him. Subhadra's son is Abhimanyu, the father of Parikshit Maharaj, the posthumous child. Arjuna satisfied the fire god by setting fire to the Kandava forest, and thus the fire god gave him one weapon. Indra was angry when the fire was set in the Kandava forest, and thus Indra, assisted by all the other demigods, began fighting with Arjuna for his great challenge. They were defeated by Arjuna, and Indradev returned to his heavenly kingdom. Arjuna also promised all protection to one Mayasura, and the latter presented him one valuable conch shell celebrated as the Devadatta. Similarly, he received many other valuable weapons from Indradev when he was satisfied to see his chivalry. When Maharaj Yudhishthira was disappointed in defeating the king of Magadha, Jarasandha, it was Arjuna only who gave King Yudhishthira all kinds of assurances, and thus Arjuna, Bhima, and Lord Krishna started for Magadha to kill Jarasandha. When he went out to bring all other kings of the world under the subjection of the Pandavas, as was usual after the coronation of every emperor, he conquered the country named Kalinda and brought in subjugation King Bhagdat. Then he traveled through countries like Antagiri, Uluktpur, and Modapur, and brought under subjugation all the rulers. Sometimes he underwent severe types of penances, and later on he was rewarded by Indradev. Lord Shiva also wanted to try the strength of Arjuna, and in the form of an aborigine, Lord Shiva met him. There was a great fight between the two, and at last Lord Shiva was satisfied with him and disclosed his identity. Arjuna prayed to the Lord in all humbleness, and the Lord, being pleased with him, presented him the Pashupata weapon. He acquired many other important weapons from different demigods. He received Dandashtra from Yamaraj, Pashastra from Varuna, Antardana Astra from Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly kingdom. Indra wanted him to come to the heavenly kingdom, the Indraloka planet beyond the moon planet. In that planet, he was cordially received by the local residents, and he was awarded reception in the heavenly parliament of Indradev. Then he met Indradev, who not only presented him with his Vajra weapon, but also taught him the military and musical science as used in the heavenly planet. In one sense, Indra is the real father of Arjuna, and therefore, indirectly, he wanted to entertain Arjuna with the famous society girl of heaven, Urvasi, the celebrated beauty. The society girls of heaven are lusty, and Urvasi was very eager to contact Arjuna, the strongest human being. She met him in his room and expressed her desires, but Arjuna sustained his unimpeachable character by closing his eyes before Urvasi, addressing her as mother of the Kuru dynasty, and placing her in the category of his mothers, Kunti, Madri, and Shachi Devi, wife of Indradev. Disappointed, Urvasi cursed Arjuna and left. In the heavenly planet, he also met the great celebrated ascetic Lomasha and prayed to him for the protection of Maharaj Yudhishthira. When his inimical cousin Duryodhan was under the clutches of the Gandharvas, he wanted to save him and requested the Gandharvas to release Duryodhan. But the Gandharvas refused, and thus he fought with them and got Duryodhan released. When all the Pandavas lived incognito, he presented himself in the court of King Virata as a eunuch and was employed as the musical teacher of Uttara, his future daughter-in-law, and was known in the Virata court as Brihanala. As Brihanala, he fought on behalf of Uttara, the son of the king of Virata, and thus defeated the Kurus in the fight incognito. His secret weapons were safely kept in the custody of a somi tree, and he ordered Uttara to get them back. His identity and his brother's identity were later on disclosed to Uttara. Dronacharya was informed of Arjuna's presence in the fight of the Kurus and the Viratas. Later on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna killed many great generals like Karna and others. After the battle of Kurukshetra, he punished Ashwatthama, who had killed all the five sons of Draupadi. Then all the brothers went to Bhishma Dev. It is due to Arjuna only that the great philosophical discourses of the Bhagavad Gita were again spoken by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. His wonderful acts on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are vividly described in the Mahabharata. Arjuna was defeated, however, by his son, Bahubravan, at Manipur and fell unconscious when Ulupi saved him. After the disappearance of Lord Krishna, the message was brought by Arjuna to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Again, Arjuna visited Dwarka, and all the widow wives of Lord Krishna lamented before him. He took them all in the presence of Vasudev and pacified all of them. Later on, when Vasudev passed away, he performed his funeral ceremony in the absence of Krishna. While Arjuna was taking all the wives of Krishna to Indraprastha, he was attacked on the way, and he could not protect the ladies in his custody. At last, advised by Vyasadev, all the brothers headed for Mahaprasthan. On the way, at the request of his brother, he gave up all important weapons as useless, and he dropped them all in the water. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katahmayam Dadati Swa Patantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Shri Shri Navadvipa Parapradipa Santipyamana Satato Bhuvia Chitastamo Hanti Yasya Yatnat Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Prachodita Shri Vyasadya Kosham Kushalam Kripalu Sanlecha Vagdesha Chayeda Dadyus Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Achadya Te Yat Paratarka Dishya Govinda Murtyu Jwala Bhaskarena Avaiti Kadyota Kulam Jagatyam Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Yasyaiva Yatnena Purana Raja Gangamala Keshava Keli Hamsa Satrotaratna Vahati Haloke Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Shri Radhika Krishna Padara Vinde Sahasaritsu Shatamandareshu Aropayad Yau Madare Prativyam Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Kaushaladya Yasya Sahasra Shastra Sastradhivarshai Pratiya Yatehi Chanda Kalir Moha Chamur Hatena Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Nana Lasad Gora Sudha Prakasha Palakshitau Stapita Eva Yena Krishna Nuchinta Jana Sangha Vrikshas Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Yo Nityada Jivati Daivikeshu Nijasu Shikasu Tusanugami Kripam Budhir Nanda Shuta Shritatma Tam Kirtamama Prabhupada Devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Barshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Pravave Namaha Maturyo Jwala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dwanta Harine Namo Gora Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambodhe Padambujayate Namaha Timinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gora Virbhava Bhome Stvam Nirdesa Sajana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Chakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tvishe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarva Swapadambojo Radha Madana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumata Srimad Ratnankara Singha Sanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Preshtalibhi Sevya Manu Smarami Srimad Rasara Sarambi Vamshi Vatata Tastitaha Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsidebhyai Priyai Keshavasya Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Shri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Narasingha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadi Chakaschana Parihare Pila Jame Kimbruve Purushottama Yuvatinam Yata Yuni Yunam Cha Yuvatau Yata Mano Biramate Tadvan Mano Me Ramatam Twayi Bhumau Skalita Padanam Bhumireva Valambanam Twayi Jata Paradanam Twameva Sharanam Prabho Govinda Balabe Radhe Prarte Tomaham Sada Twadiyamiti Janatu Govinda Umam Twayasaha Radhe Vrindavanadi She Karunam Ritavahani Kripaya Nijapadabcha Dasyam Mayam Pradiyatam Shitanda Vrijastrinam Padurenam Abhikshnasa Yasam Hari Gato Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam Namastrestam Manamapi Sachiputra Matra Sarupam Shri Rupam Tasya Gajam Aruparim Maturum Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Sham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurun Tannatosmi Adatana Shridan Danter Idam Jache Puna Punaha Shri Mandrupa Padam Bojo Rajoham Syam Bhave Bhave Antaya Madhura Bala Haradasya Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charanasparasha Pramodha Manam Tanoti Sahago Tanayostayo Yad Vaniya Suya Vasakanna Nakanna Mulai Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Danvaninam Agraniresha, Tulyas Charjunayora Dvayoho, Hutasha Eva Durdharshaha, Samudra Eva Dustaraha. Amongst great bowmen, this child will be as good as Arjuna, will be as irresistible as fire, and as unsurpassable as the ocean. So still the Brahmins are glorifying the child about to be born and mentioning his good qualities in reference to other great personalities. And here Arjuna's name is famous all over the three worlds. And interesting in this description of the life of Arjuna, gives a summary practically of the whole Mahabharata and different aspects of Arjuna's pastimes. The activities of the Lord are uncommon, and the activities of the Lord's devotees are also uncommon. And throughout his life, Arjuna, we can take a special note, was a favorite of his teacher because he was so studious that he even wanted to practice the art of bowmanship at night. And thus he brought the good graces of his teacher Dronacharya upon him, who noted that he was particularly talented and particularly desirous. And this is one of the great qualities of Arjuna that we can take home ourselves, and to know that when we show this kind of desire, intense desire to learn from a teacher, then it draws out of the teacher a desire to give special attention, to give special mercy. It's one of the very intangible but extremely potent ways in which knowledge is transferred from one person to another, and that is from student to teacher. When this the student is very eager to learn and very attentive, then naturally it opens up the heart of the teacher to want to give more and to instruct the student fully. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami, who had been given as a replacement to Roma Harshan, who was killed, he had been appointed to the Vyasasan by all the sages to speak. He was a fully qualified person, but he didn't show the proper etiquette when Balaram came and didn't offer his respects. And Balaram noticed this and killed him with a kusha grass. And all the sages lamented because they said, we'd already given him a long life. So Balaram suggested that you replace it with his son. You transfer that, your blessings to the son. And so they did that. And Ugrashava Sutta took the Vyasa son. And then the sages began glorifying him to say why he was qualified. And one of the reasons that he said he was qualified, they said he was qualified, was because he had been submissive to his teachers throughout his life, that he had shown great acumen for learning, but also he was a gentle person. In fact, can you give me a first canto? I'll just show you the verse. And therefore, they bestowed upon him all the special mercy that brought him to the highest position. That's it. Thank you. I'll read you the verse in purport. It's 118. Veta tvam saumya tat sarvam tatvatas taranugrahat bruyu snigdhasya shishyasya gurvo guyamapyuta. Translation. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all you have scientifically learned from them. Purport. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung in his famous 8 stanzas on the spiritual master as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Only by his satisfaction can one please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when he is dissatisfied, there is only havoc on the path of spiritual realization. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Srila Suta Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple, and therefore he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters, such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. The sages of Naimasaranya were confident that Srila Suta Goswami was bona fide, therefore they were anxious to hear from him. So I get inspired when I hear about Arjuna taking his bow out at night, because this is the price to pay. If you want to learn anything, you have to be eager for it. The acharyas who teach music, they're showing us how to play harmonium a little bit. But because they're accomplished musicians, they know how important it is to practice. And sometimes when Prabhu and I go there for lessons, and we hadn't had that much time to practice, they sort of chastise it a little bit that real musicians practice 8 hours a day. If you really want to learn how to play an instrument, that's what you have to do. And I may have quoted in this class before, but I found it when I was writing my book. One of the famous violinists of the world had said that if I don't practice one day, I notice it. If I don't practice 2 days, my critics notice it. And if I don't practice 3 days, then everybody notices it. So, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati Kriyatam Yadi Kritopi Labdite Tata Lolyam Apimulyam Ekalam Chanmakoti Sukritir Nalabhyate. Devotional service is something that you can't obtain after many, many lifetimes of performing pious activities. It's not available through that. It is available only if you have extreme greed to have it. It's something you have to have. It has to be a fever pitch that I must have this. And this is called lalyam, or this intense longing, or this is called greed, a kind of greed to have it. And when people are greedy, they do practically anything. They'll cheat, they'll lie, they steal, you know, beg, borrow, or steal. This is the idea. So in our practice of devotional service, we should be like Arjuna. We should practice at night. We should practice wholeheartedly. We should please our teachers, and we should develop this burning desire to advance, to come up, and understand that there's not much time. That all the Shastras are saying this. You've gotten a rare opportunity. Somehow or other, you've been afforded the opportunity. Labvam sudurlabam idam bahusam bhavante. Manushyam artadam anityam apihadira. That the human life, it doesn't come very easily. But when you get it, it's temporary, but it has great value. And turnam yateta. As soon as you know that what the value of it is, you should take full advantage. That's the feeling of it. So practicing at night with one's bow and arrow, with one's japa beads, just meaning organizing life in such a way that I don't miss. There's no gaps. This is serious devotional service. Arjuna also, we notice at the description of the end of this purport, was bereft of his power after the departure of Lord Krishna. This is also a noteworthy aspect of his life. Such a great hero, he performed superhuman acts, and then at the end of his life, after Krishna had left the planet, when he was trying to protect these queens, he was defeated by some cowherd men, and the great Arjuna now had lost his powers. And what did he do then? It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam how he had recalled Krishna's instructions to him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And all the trash in his thoughts subsided. This is the language of the verses. It says that he had lost that potency. And this is also something to remember, that at every minute we're dependent on Krishna and we're helpless, and that we have to pray to him for the direction, the strength, in order to perform our duty properly and to have the power to do it. Otherwise, we cannot. Srila Prabhupada's prayers in approaching the Boston Harbor are particularly potent in remembering the mood of someone who's entering into some service, and that is that, Krishna, I'm just your instrument. I have no power on my own, and if you want me to do something, please, you're going to have to help. This is the quintessential feeling and prayer of the devotee. And we can see from Arjuna, the most powerful person of his time lost all his powers, just so we could see that actually they were coming from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he could show us the process for coming back up to that position, which was he remembered the teachings of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita over and over again, and then became re-empowered, reinvigorated by that. So this is our situation, that we have to constantly stay engaged as an instrument of Krishna, and we should recall his instructions to guide us. In the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if you become aware of me, if you become aware of my instructions, then you'll be guided correctly. And if you forget them and you become unaware of my instructions, you forget them, then you'll be lost in this world. So this is the daily minute to minute situation that we have to recall, remember, and enact Krishna's instructions for guidance, and take help from our spiritual masters so that we can move forward properly in this dangerous world. Om Tat Sat. More about Arjuna? Comments? Questions? Yes.
Powerless. Is it because Krishna had departed from his presence and that he no longer had that one-on-one communication that he had at the battlefield of Kurukshetra and afterwards? Is that a reason so that he would then remember Krishna, or that he had become powerless for some other reasons, that he probably was not practicing his bowmanship or had become lethargic or something?
It's the first case, that specifically to show his dependence on Krishna. I can read you the section actually. Another point?
Mm-hmm. Regarding just like Arjuna lost all powers, and similarly, even for us also, sometimes we do things. Sometimes we cannot do the things, and especially when I do things, it's easy to forget that it's coming from Krishna's mercy, and when I can do things, then probably I'll remember. Oh, I'm helpless. So how can we conquer this? We hear it all the time that everything comes from Krishna, but still it's easy to forget at times. So how can we constantly remember that actually, you know, we don't have any potency at all? Everything is Krishna's mercy.
Well, in all the other ways that we make advancement in devotional service, primarily by good association, when we're in association of those who are vigilant, we'll also be vigilant. And we'll notice when we're... we'll notice when we're in good association where we're lacking, and it will help to bring us up. And also, when we're on a course to become Krishna conscious and we're actually practicing the rigid process, that is every day gaining our numerical strength through chanting and hearing, then because we're doing it in a regulated way, we'll notice when our energy is going up and down and when our attention is there and when it isn't there, because we're doing it every day. Some days we'll feel more inclined, and some days we may not be so much inclined, and we can measure from that, we can see. And that helps us to become aware of where we are and how we're doing, and then we must ask and pray to Krishna to help us. This is one of the main qualifications of a devotee, is that he or she is always asking for Krishna's help. This is Queen Kunti's statement that Krishna is a kinchana gochara, that he's inclined toward those who are a kinchan or don't have anything. It means that they keep themselves empty in a way. Constantly they're vigilant to present themselves before Krishna and through their spiritual authorities as bereft. They don't act bereft. In other words, Lord Chaitanya said when he came before his spiritual master, he told this to Prakashananda Saraswati, because Prakashananda had said, Well, why are you just sentimentally dancing? Why don't you study the Vedas? Why don't you study the Vedanta Sutra like all the other sannyasis do? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that my spiritual masters called me murka, fool. He said, you're a fool. You can't understand the Vedanta Sutra. And therefore, he gave me this mantra to chant. And so Mahaprabhu, although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was acting as a devotee, but he was saying, I'm murka, I'm a fool. What do I know? And so Prabhupada mentions in that section that one must always present oneself or feel like that. Not that you should act like a fool and do foolish things, you know, when you're trying to serve. But you should feel like that. You should empty yourself out. It's part of the qualification of Rosh Hashanah. It says, I'm a fool. As soon as I think I know something, I'm very intelligent, I understand, then we block our progress. Amanitvam, adambitvam, the first two aspects Krishna mentions in the 13th chapter of the Gita of the process of knowledge are emptying yourself out, your humility and your pridelessness. And this is actually a relief because we can't stand up to the onslaught of material nature. It's a real pain to try to be the doer. And it's a real challenge to withstand the onslaught of material nature. But if we surrender to Krishna and say, what can I do? I'm helpless. Please direct me. Please help me. I'm just your humble servant. We read last night that this submissiveness is the main qualification for advancing in devotional service. The more submissive I become to the proper authorities, the more I advance in devotional service. It's simple. We have to empty ourselves out. Veta tvam saumya tat sarvam tatfatast tadanugrahat bruyu snigdasya shishyasya guruvo gurumaputa. The verse I just read from the first canto, eighth verse. It says that the gentle disciple, and this is what it means, that a person is humble and open. So that is something to practice. And Mahaprabhu gave that verse, Trinada pisuni chena toror ivasuhishnina amanina manadena kirtaniya sarahari, that we should be always ready to give respects to others without expecting anything in return. And if you're always ready for that, then you're open to the environment is always teaching you wherever you go. Prahlad Maharaj said in his prayers that I'm not afraid of you, Lord Nrisimhadev, with your high wedge-like ears, your pinching teeth, your garland of intestines. But what I am afraid of is the material nature and the inexorable wheel of time, which at any time, at any moment can pull me back down again and I'll be lost. Therefore, he's vigilant. And then there's that famous story about Prabhupada saying that, advanced devotee doesn't fall down. And then someone saw Prabhupada praying before the deities and asked him later, you know, what kind of prayer does he make? And he said, I'm praying I won't fall down. And they said, but Prabhupada, you said an advanced devotee doesn't fall down. And he said, that's why. It's an ongoing mentality that I'm dependent, always praying in that way. And yes, as we see from the example of Arjuna, that he's the great warrior. Everyone's working on borrowed plumes. Whoever the great hero is, I should remember that the power is coming from Krishna. In his prayers on this subject, Arjuna is saying, it was by his influence only that in a fight I was able to astonish the personality of God, Lord Shiva, and his wife, the daughter of Mount Himalaya. Thus he, Lord Shiva, became pleased with me and awarded me his own weapon. Other demigods also delivered their respective weapons to me, and in addition, I was able to reach the heavenly planets in this present body and was allowed a half-elevated seat. Purport, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, all the demigods, including Lord Shiva, were pleased with Arjuna. The idea is that one who is favored by Lord Shiva or any other demigod may not necessarily be favored by the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. I'll just go ahead with his prayers, because he goes on and on talking about many of the things that we heard in the purport about the wonderful acts that he had performed. And all of this he's saying, it was by his mercy only that my enemies neglected to kill me when I descended from my chariot to get water for my thirsty horses. And it was due to my lack of esteem for my Lord that I dared engage him as my chariot driver. For he is worshipped and offered services by the best of men to attain salvation. He's remembering Krishna in separation. O Emperor, now I am separated from my friend and dearmost well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my heart appears to be void of everything. In his absence, I have been defeated by a number of infidel cowherd men while I was guarding the bodies of all the wives of Krishna. I have the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot, drawn by the same horses, and I use them as the same Arjuna, to whom all the kings offered their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them, at a moment's notice, have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land. O King, since you have asked me about our friends and relatives in the city of Dwarka, I will inform you that all of them were cursed by the Brahmins, and as a result, they all became intoxicated with wine made of putrefied rice and fought amongst themselves with sticks, not even recognizing one another. Now all but four or five of them are dead and gone. It's no laughing matter. You know, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead leaves, the world is put into chaos. And when great acharyas leave also, there are difficulties. We're just reading the book about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and how after he left, the Gaudiya Math, which he had taken so much care to bring up to help the world, had all kinds of infighting and difficulties. And, you know, these things are inevitable in this world. And therefore, we have to become mature. We have to become independently thoughtful and be able to stand on our own two feet in devotional service by taking the instructions from the Shastra, from our gurus, from Krishna, from within the heart, and move forward. There are many decisions to make. There are many controversies, and those things you actually have to take from all these sources, take help from Krishna within the heart. I mean, Arjuna is in turmoil here after Krishna has left, is feeling powerless, so he has to really, as they say, forgive the cliche, dig deep. You know, to find his bearing. But all this is part of spiritual growth as well, that, you know, we have to realize our center, our dependence on Krishna. And, we have to have our support system in place. We have to have a support system in place. Everybody does. For anything you do in this world, you have to have your support system. Because the world is a difficult place to live in, to say the least. And spiritual life means walking a fine line. Some shastras say it's like the thin edge of a razor. You walk off one side or the other, and there's bloodshed. You know, you have to be careful and walk carefully. So, you know, that means you have to know your support system, how to take help properly, how to discern what's the proper thing to do, what's the proper philosophy, how to move forward, how to get inspiration when you're not feeling inspired. You have to be resourceful and do these things. And we find that Arjuna, I would like to find you the verse here. When it's very encouraging. He says, now I'm attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances and time and space. Isn't that nice? I mean, when you've come in contact with the Bhagavad Gita as it is for the first time, and you realize that what the actual situation is, that Krishna says, you can't be killed. That's a relief in and of itself, just to come to that kind of knowledge. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, herein Arjuna refers to the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which is imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all time and in all lands. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of God, it is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutras. It was put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class. So, the next verse, Suta Goswami said, thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and freed from all material contamination. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Purport. Material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. Birth after birth, the conditioned soul is entrapped with so many pleasing and displeasing elements, which are false and temporary. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord in his variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest, and the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjuna turned his attention toward the instructions of the Lord, as they are inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt freed from all material contaminations. So there's the answer. You have to take shelter of Krishna's instructions and good association. Yes. It's called the Pandavas Retire Timely. It's three-fourths of the way through that section. You find it there. Did you like that? Hare Krishna. That verse and purport was 1:15:29. That whole section is recommended. Did I answer your question? Okay, good. Akurna Prabhu. I was going to say Arjuna.
In the Mahabharata, there's this story of how the Pandavas, after they retire, they end up going to Swargaloka. And I was wondering about that, because we know that Krishna, Arjuna is Krishna's constant companion, his cousin brother, his eternal friend and associate. Why would the Pandavas go to Swargaloka rather than directly to the spiritual world? Or it's confusing to me how that... And also in the purport here, it says that Arjuna is a partial or plenary portion of Indra. So how is he a plenary portion of Indra when he's also, like Naranarayan Rishi, he's Krishna's best friend? Mm-hmm. How could he just be a plenary portion of some, of a demigod?
Well, you'll find in the Gaura-Gonadeshi Deepika about the different partial manifestations of this devotee and that devotee and mixtures thereof. It's very fluid, actually. And a lot of it has to do with the fluidity of the spirit and also of the bhava, of the, you know, particular emotion that certain devotees have. Like it's mentioned that in Chaitanya Leela, how Ramananda Roy was Arjuna, you know, and then he's recalling. So a lot of these things have to do with sort of the, you know, the bhava. And there is a commentary about, Prabhupada does mention about them going to the heavenly planets in relationship to the description. And I think it's actually in the first canto, but I'll have to research that. I forget exactly what he said about that point, but there is some, he does mention it. So if you give me a couple days, I'll find it for you. Om Tat Sat. Anything else? Somebody else had their hand up? Wanted to make a comment? Okay. Srimad Bhak, you want to make a comment?
I always thought that Bhim was the strongest of the men. And here, you know, it was a new thing that Prabhupada mentions Arjuna is the strongest of the men somehow.
Well, they all had their specialties. Bhima was especially strong in his temper and with his hands. And he was Bhima was a club. He was a club man. Each had their own specialty. Bhima fought with a club. And yes, it is described that he was the strongest in many ways. But, you know, it's sort of like perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Stronger. They're all strong in their own ways. Yeah, he collected all these weapons. That's another point that I really like in the descriptions of Arjuna, how he was proficient at you know, the military science, and he got these weapons by pleasing other great personalities, like it mentioned Lord Shiva and Lord Indra, because he either fought with them or he pleased them in some way, and then they bestowed upon him their particular shakti. And so this is also true for us too. As we go through our life, when we meet great personalities, if we please them, then they'll also give us some special shakti that they have. This is how we actually advance. When we meet great personalities who we see have some wonderful quality, then if we're submissive and we come and please them, then they'll give us a portion, or they're just, that's what they do. Great transcendentalists, like it's mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya is a spiritual capitalist. And, you know, he gives out endowments here and there. Just like there's all these underwriters for National Public Radio and things like that, that they're just wealthy beyond belief. You know, they have billions of dollars, so they underwrite all kinds of programs and found museums and, right? It's like, who are some of them? Ford Foundation.
Memorial Trust. The Marshall Foundation.
Yeah, so all these, they're all people, and they just have enormous amounts of wealth, and they give them out to all kinds of charitable causes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a spiritual capitalist. So what you want to look for is these spiritual millionaires and billionaires. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they give away all this money. You just go like, hey, can I have some? You know, look what we're doing. And it's like, go ahead. So when you find very wealthy spiritualists, and you know, they're very advanced in knowledge and in detachment, and in their bhakti is evident, you know, you can just go, you know, serve them and say, you know, every once in a while you can ask them if they'll just throw you a little something. And they're spiritual billionaires, so what's a few million to them? They'll give you. Especially because that's their nature. they know the spiritual mathematics that when you give away, it increases. So they're always giving away anyway. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Go premanande hari bo. Now we're having, today's a special expedited schedule because we're going to enter right into our planning session for the year for our Sankirtan. So for the next hour and 45 minutes, we'll be having a special planning session to brainstorm what our goals will be for each one of the monthly Sankirtan festivals. We'll look at the schedule. We'll look at what we did last year. And then we'll get it down in black and white, what we're going to do this year. And then we'll be off and running. So why don't we put all the books away? Oh, thank you so much. Okay, great. We'll take a 5-minute intermission and put everything away, take a stretch, and then we'll come back ready to plan and think. Battles are won in the general's tent.